to me, I'm a music, like a channeler. So music is the greatest language. It's the greatest language ever.
Creative engagement. Hello, I'm your host, Daniel Mandel, and I invite you to join us at the intersection of artistry and engagement. I'll be shining a light on the importance of authentic self-expression and participation in life. My purpose is to stimulate curiosity that will lead to play so that we can all live our most meaningful adventure. I'm a creativity coach, and I'm the chief encouragement officer. I work with people as creators and as artists to generate change through curiosity and imagination that invites creativity into problem solving to address life challenges. My guest this episode is Paul Santamaria. Paul is a four-time Daytime Emmy-winning music composer, fine artist, graphic artist, and a film and TV music score creator. He has songs and instrumentals on iTunes and all the other streaming platforms. His latest CD is the Paul Santamaria Guitar and Bass Sextet. You'll hear how I originally came in contact with Paul's music back in 1993, 29 years ago, as I was reviewing music for an Ensoniq synthesizer newsletter. Paul has a rich musical history and background. You'll hear two of Paul's songs, Bella Ruido and Così Lunatico. Paul and I had a much longer conversation than would fit into this format, and I am struck by how artists adjust to the business of music. This podcast is much more dedicated to the creativity and artistry of music than it is to the industry or business of selling music. There are some definite challenges that artists face relative to monetizing their creativity. Having said that, I believe that creativity still serves us well, giving us meaning and purpose, and provides such interesting challenges that we are better off engaging with it. I think that suppressing creative expression comes at a cost. And I agree with Paul that music theory and arts of all kinds of artistic expression should be at the core of our basic education. If you'd like to try your hand at songwriting, check out the episode notes, as I'm offering a free step-by-step songwriting method and even a songwriting contest to inspire and challenge your creative expression. My guest is Paul Santamaria. Paul is a four-time Daytime Emmy-winning music composer, fine artist, graphic artist, and a film and TV score creator. He has over 475 songs and instrumentals on iTunes and all those other platforms. So, welcome, Paul.
Hello.
Very good to have you. I want to really start out with this sort of strange connection that we have that goes back 29 years ago now. So this is, I don't know exactly the best dramatic way to set this up, but the year was 1993.
And dinosaurs still roam the earth.
Yes, exactly. So you contacted me, earlier this year and reminded me that I had actually published a review of your music, and both of us were using Ensoniq synthesizers.
Right.
And the Insonic company had a newsletter called the Transonic Hacker, and I was writing music reviews for people using those synthesizers. And then we continued to have our conversation, and I let you know about this podcast, and you're still making excellent music. You're very prolific. So yeah, I really want to welcome you to this Creative Engagement podcast discussion, and just invite us into your world and tell us how creativity has impacted your life.
Well, I'm poor. No, I always like to tell people, I think you can gauge your engagement with a true music career, possibly by what you've owned and what you haven't owned. And I like to, it's sort of a joke, but it's absolutely true. I've never owned a house. I've never owned a couch. I've never really owned other than an office chair. I had one of those angled desktop things for creating, you know, fancy engineering drawings, and I just sold it after 45 years in our little lawn sale that we had here at the house. So,
yeah, it really speaks to what's important to own and what you've chosen to own, right?
Yeah, and I mean it's rent. You know what I mean? What can you get away with what can you afford to rent so that you can keep doing what you're doing? You know, I mean, I really have this serious spiritual connection to what I do. I don't follow any specific religion, but I totally believe that there's no way that anything as intelligent and creative, as amazing as human beings are, I can't believe it was all for nothing. So I don't try to promote anything to anyone, but I totally believe in an afterlife.
Well, before we go too much farther, tell us where you're being interviewed from.
I'm in Westminster, Maryland, which is about 45 minutes kind of northwest of Baltimore. Yeah, and I'm originally from Buffalo.
Okay, I've been interviewing folks from really all over the world, from Finland and Sweden and wow. And Scotland, and a group of singer-songwriters recently contacted me from Boston. So now we're in Maryland, talking to Paul Santamaria. Talk about your newest CD. So your newest CD is called the Paul Santamaria Guitar and Bass Sextet, where you're really playing all the instruments. I wanted to really kind of learn what the inspiration was for that album. And you've written so much music. Let's take a little detour and talk about that.
Actually, for my girlfriend, who I share this home with, I bought her this great little guitar. I had just gotten it, and I just started, you know, actually, I don't know what it'll sound like, but I was noodling with it one day, and I did this. Excuse me, I made a mistake. And it goes. So that's the rhythm track, the chordal track for the piece. And then I played all this stuff on top of it.
Yeah, let me ask you. So this album has 20 songs spanning about 40 minutes. So each of the songs is relatively short. As I was listening to it, I was like kind of thinking, oh, I would love a follow-up album of just any one of these songs like deeply explored. Because it feels like I got like a just like this little gem of a taste, and I was like, oh, what, that was the song.
Well, let me try to explain this to you as short as possible. I will do my best. I mentioned King Crimson. One of King Crimson plays this nutty stuff that's off the wall, and they're crazy, brilliant musicians. I covered one of their songs. There's a song called Starless. It's a 10-minute tune. The first 4 or 5 minutes is this beautiful song, kind of slow, very, very moody, called Starless again. And the backside of the tune is this odd, quirky stuff. And I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if I did an arrangement of this song as a cover, and I incorporated stuff that was part of the arrangement in the back end of the tune into the front of the tune. You want songs that are less than 2 minutes? I'll give you songs that are less than 2 minutes, because I can do this. So that's the idea. As you mentioned up front, I won these awards working for a PBS station in Miami, Florida. And I was actually writing for the target audience was 0 to 2-year-olds, believe it or not. And then they'd hand me these side projects. So I ended up being there about 8.5 years. Well, everything had to be very specific. It had to be, you know, let's say if they say we want a 10-second piece. Okay, I'd give them a 10-second piece. So they trained me very well about how to get in, do something fast, and get out. I got good at composing these things, and I didn't use any time compression or anything like that. I basically just wrote the song to be that length. And then I once did a demo for I was supposed to be the composer for a Flipper movie, and it was a huge amount of money. And so I did a 20-song demo, and I did 20 different styles. I did Indian music with sitars, and everything was less than 20 seconds long. So there you go. It's that kind of training that I said, okay, you can't listen for more than a minute, 2 minutes? Fine, I'll give you less than 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting that that's kind of informed your approach. Yeah.
Yes. Well, and let me add one other thing, too. So, you know, you think it's just a song, but really what it is it's a calling card. Because when somebody hears that music, they might go, wait a minute, who's this? So each song is a calling card. If it gets heard by the right person at the right time, it could be so much more. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point, and I've seen this in different art forms, that the constraints that we apply really can inform and shape the artistry. Like the example that I'm thinking of is, I know a dancer and choreographer who was sort of in a situation where she was given the limitation of being able to do a dance on a stage with a chair, and she was given the limitation that she had to always have her body in some way in contact with the chair. And you might look at that and think, like what you've been describing, that short songs are very limiting, that's a very limited way to think of a dancer dancing on a stage. But she really used that to pour her creativity into it. And it was very enlightening to express yourself from within a constraint.
All kinds of things jump out. And I would say, go and watch Summer Stock with Gene Kelly and Judy Garland. And he does a solo performance with a newspaper. And he actually said that of all the things he ever did, that was his favorite dance. So all I want to do is create art. I want to use my gift.
And so why not formulate something that gives you a way to enjoy your gifts, like you've said. Let me change tracks here a little bit. Mm-hmm. The main burning question that I, in preparing for this interview, that I really want to kind of, I want to really kind of get inside your experience, is to ask you about instrumental music in kind of a general sense, because as long as I've been involved in music, a big part of my expression has been the lyrics and singing. as well as creating the music. Very recently, I wrote sort of a comical, cute kind of a song, and I had never really written comedy into music. So I'm exploring all these new areas. But tell us about your experience of music without lyrics and what it feels like to express not using words and just using the language of music and musical instruments.
Well, if I had been born with a natural voice like a Paul McCartney or Steve Perry from Journey, oh my God, I'd love to have that voice. I had to work really hard to sing even the songs that you originally heard, and I was, of course, much younger. I trained and trained, and I was in bands 5 and 6 nights a week. That's how I made my living while I was seeking out a recording deal.
I want to kind of redirect my question. If you think about writing your next song, that's what I'm very curious about, is what's the experience of, is it that you have a specific meaning? How do you hold meaning and communication when there are no words or vocals?
I will tell you this. I love touching a guitar.
Yeah.
I wrote a book called The Guitar Explained, and I've sold a lot of copies of it. It's going to tell you everything you need to know from start to finish. I love touching a guitar. And one of the original opening statement of the book was, I don't care who makes it. I don't care whose name is on it. I don't care what color it is, what shape it is, what wood is made out of it. The only thing that matters is the neck. Do the chords stay in tune? If you listen through all 20 songs of this Sextet CD that it just happens to be my most recent thing, you're going to hear everything from extremely up-tempo Latin music to very complicated free-form jazz chord things to very simple little motifs, things like this, which I don't know if this will sound very good, but I wrote an entire song that was nothing more really than this. And then it had a little change. And very, very, very simple. Now, I like the technique of it. When I hear two chords, let's say, that go against each other, Lost in the Redlands, the main chord was this, and the second chord was, and the next chord was, and then the final chord was. So when I heard that, I went, oh my God, that's beautiful. It's like taking a mouthful of the best spaghetti you ever had in your life. To me, it's technique, and it stirs something in me. And I'd like to be able to say that it was just emotional. And I'd like to be able to say that it was going to be a love song to move someone's soul. Okay, so I'm listening to these songs, and I'm going, to me, I'm a music, like a channeler. So I can do reggae, rock, funk, complicated jazz, simple jazz, funny stuff. The last song on the CD, which is called Baila Ruido, that one I want to hear more of. it works the way it is. You know, I've written theme songs for television shows. The guy that played the mailman on Cheers, John Ratzenberger, that guy that shows up in every Pixar movie. His first job out of Cheers was a show on HGTV called American Hobbies and Pastimes. And I wrote the theme to that show. It was on for about 6 years. That's a channeler. I played all these songs with all these bands. I really think everyone should learn music theory. Everyone at the age of 5 is forced to learn the alphabet. Well, this is good. Then they force numbers on you. My point was, is you get to be quite brilliant at speaking, writing, arranging, and reading words. Okay? You get the same way with numbers, but they fail to teach music theory. If they had taught you music theory when you were 5, when they forced numbers and letters on you, you would now speak, write, arrange, perform, and read music just as well as you do with numbers. There's no reason why you couldn't do this. There's no mystery to it. It doesn't matter what you do with the music. If you knew how to quantify all that is music theory, and you can understand it, and you can see the architecture of it. So for me, now understanding music theory, I know so much better now how to compose these things. So if a neat little chord, if I stumbled upon a neat little chord thing, so what I, my process is that I'll pick up my guitar and I just start noodling. And I play fast or slow or whatever. I do some exercises. And believe it or not, the weird thing will happen. Some weird thing will happen that I've never played before. And I'll go, oh my God, look at those two chords, how they went together. And I can immediately jump on top of that thing, save it onto my iPhone, and I can go and build on it. There's a song on my CD. It's called Don't Go Where I Can't Follow, which was a cool little title that my girlfriend came up with. And I was just noodling along and I played these couple of chords and that was it. So they really all start that way. For a person like me, that's just what happens.
Well, Paul, we definitely hear your passion because, yeah, we really get a sense of how the tactile nature of even holding the guitar and feeling the guitar neck influences you.
Oh, yeah.
What words of encouragement would you have? And you've already given us some great encouragement in terms of, like, wouldn't it be great if we all could be exposed and taught musical theory? But, you know, for the people who maybe haven't yet, for the people who hear your passion and say, boy, I'd like to, you know, participate in the kinds of things that, that Paul is, what words of encouragement would you have?
I put everything I knew that if you play guitar or you play bass, if that's true, or you wanted to learn, you really should get my book. I put in everything I think you could possibly need to know. It's called The Guitar Explained. You can go to my website, which is paulsantamaria.com, which will lead you there. Or you could go to theguitarexplained.com, and I'll send you a copy of my book. It is $30. So music is the greatest language. It's the greatest language ever.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. Thank you for all the music you've created over the years, and thank you for participating in this podcast.
It was fun. And I, by the way, I just want to say Daniel gave me very nice reviews back in 1993. Most people are really critical in a nasty way. Not Mr. Mandel. No way. He was very nice about what he said about my song. And he was correct, by the way. There you go.
The Creative Engagement Podcast's mission is to have important conversations sharing LGBTQ artist and creative stories as we encourage everyone to participate in life. Here are some ways you can help. Give our podcast some love. Creative Engagement is an independent free podcast. Your ratings and comments where you listen to podcasts help others understand the value. Send us your comments directly. Let us know your thoughts. Do you know someone who should be interviewed? Do you have a topic that should be explored that fits the creative engagement context? Send an email to coach@danielrmandel.com. Share this episode to anyone you think might enjoy artistic and queer ideas and creative encouragement. And finally, visit the creativeengagementcoaching.com website to explore courses and coaching to optimize your life. Thank you for listening. I'm Daniel Mandel. Creative Engagement.